each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
That sounds weird. It sounds like it's short.
I don't know. It's coming live. Anyway, hi. Can't hear myself.
Yeah, you're just in and out, in and out, in and out. Hello, everyone.
Yeah, you talk. But you talk.
Father's back, thank God.
So, okay, we're okay. What was the problem?
It sounds like a short. It sounds like a short. I could be wrong.
All right, but hopefully it's not going over the radio. Yeah. Anyway, here we. I was going to say that we're starting the new year, but we're not even in the new year.
Right.
You are coming to the end
feels
of the year.
Like
so. Hi, everybody. This is Father Anthony. I'm coming you. Coming to you, we're coming to you, the two Tonys from Chicago, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy here in the heart of Chicago. And on this, the third day of Christmas, third day, anyway, the Feast of St. John.
Boy,
that was kind of a rough
start.
Well, let's begin with the Angelus. That'll kind of put things in proper perspective. So, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen.
Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, is made known by the message of an angel, made by his passion and cross, be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, wow. Tony, it's going to be one of those hours. I don't know.
Yeah, it always is.
I don't know what you're hearing out there in radio land, but we're having problems here in the studio. So right now everything is okay.
Good.
But today's a feast of St. John, and as I mentioned yesterday, we had it was the Church in her wisdom the day after Christmas goes into we celebrate the feast of St. Stephen, the first martyr, and again, just to recap briefly, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, born in Bethlehem of Mary, of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Bethlehem, house of bread, to identify this child born in Bethlehem, to identify his destiny. He's destined that as wheat is crushed, it become bread. He will eventually be crushed and become bread. He'll make himself bread for the journey. Can you tell I'm really distracted by this?
Don't let it.
The system,
keep going.
So I got to keep
forward.
Going. Maybe it'd be better if I take these things off. Everything is okay now. Can you hear that over the radio?
It's good.
Does it? Yeah. Just keep talking.
He's taking care of it.
Okay.
It's in good hands. It's in Nick's hands. That's all that matters.
That's right. So before we get into the meat of the hour, talk to me, Tony, because I'm a little distracted. So what's
going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, you know, I'm feeling a little better.
Good.
As a matter of fact, my sinuses are killing me. So it's like yesterday was a little bad, but today I'm feeling a little better. I think my spirit is getting better.
You know, okay, good. And you guys have your Christmas tree yet?
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
I finally put it up a few days before Christmas.
Good. Thanks, Nick.
A few days before Christmas.
Okay, here we go. So now we're just going to get back into the groove.
Yeah,
that's so hard when you know you're on live and I have no idea what
you
people
get
are hearing.
Distracted very easily. That's why.
Well, because I can't hear myself. Right. That's the thing. Right. I couldn't hear, and it was my voice was going in and out. So there's like you don't even hear. I've got these huge headphones on, and then there's static, and then all of a sudden silence, and you're talking, but you know it's like when you go to when we had the dinner dance, for instance, which was very beautiful, up until. They start with a dancing, and the band really, you know, kicks in, and then I'm of course I'm not a dancer, so
you try to slip out, and people just keep bringing you in.
It doesn't pay to, you can't carry on a conversation,
right.
So you're, I try to make the rounds and see everybody, and once that music kicks in, I talk. I don't hear myself speak. I can't hear what they're saying. We're carrying on a conversation. Only God knows what we're saying, you know. So, it's at that point that it's time for me to. If I'm not going to dance, it's better to go. And since I'm not a dancer, I go.
It's a good out, right?
But that's what it felt like with the radio. I couldn't even hear myself. I couldn't hear you.
Mm.
So, anyway, all right. So we got to get into the. Let's get into the
venture.
The venture. So. Mm. I said, just to recap, yesterday we had the Feast of St. Stephen. So you think about the wisdom of the church. See, let me just reiterate something that I've said many times. I know I repeat myself all the time. Camille, by the way, if she's listening, and by the way, thank you very much for all the, she sends this great big box full of Christmas cards and all kinds of treats. And it just happened that that evening, if she's listening, I hope she appreciates this, but I had just opened this. It was a huge box. Somebody said, you know, it's pretty heavy. It's on the floor. I said, well, I think I can pick it up,
right,
you know. So,
pick it up.
But and then she wraps it. I mean, she tightens it. It is a bit of a chore opening the box.
That's always a good thing.
Which is a good thing.
Right.
So then just these beautiful cards and beautiful calendars and Christmas calendars, Advent calendar and all that, and the a nativity set that you make. And then there were these, I don't know if you've seen these, I've never seen them before, but they're spoons. Instead of a candy cane, it's a spoon that is white and red, you know, it looks, it's got the colors of a candy cane, but it's a spoon.
Is it candy or is it just?
Well, yeah. At first, I wasn't.
Spoons?
There were, I think, five.
Okay.
Exactly, because I have five people that were coming that night. Children. I had children coming that evening. I was gonna just for counseling. Some stuff was going on, and so I thought, well, how providential, because these are kids that are coming, and I trust that Camille doesn't mind that I gave them to the children, but I thought it was. I had to really look it out, check it out, and see if this is candy or is it
a real spoon?
A real spoon. So it's a spoon. It's a candy spoon.
Wow!
But it was really clever. I'd never seen something like that before. So the kids were very excited, very excited. So anyway, the church in her wisdom. Oh, this is the point that I was going to make. I'm always. My mind is all over the place. This is going to be a hard hour. I can tell you right now, this is going to be a difficult hour. But the church, we have an obligation to go to Mass on Sunday, but the church celebrates Mass every day. So with Advent, we begin a new liturgical year. Now we're in the season of Christmas, and we're in the octave of Christmas, and octave is 8 days, but There are the 12 days of Christmas, because Christmas from the 12 days begins with Christmas and ends with the Epiphany. Those are the 12 days of Christmas. So the Epiphany, the Feast of the Three Kings, or the Feast of the Epiphany, Epiphany means manifestation, is considered the second Christmas, and it ends at the 12 days. Now, the season will continue until the baptism of Jesus, not baptized as a baby, but baptized as a man. And it's not the same as our baptism, but he'll enter into a baptism as a kind of typology, a preparation, prefiguration of his baptism into death. He will lay his life down into death in order to redeem us. And then we're baptized to be cleansed of original sin as infants. But people often say, why do you baptize babies? And my response is always, listen, did you choose your mother and father?
No.
And none of us did. I says, well, neither do we choose God. God has chosen us. Now, there's a point where we have to freely of our own free will, we enter into relationship with God, but that relationship is already established in baptism, that we're brought into the mystical body of Christ and into the church. We're part of the body of Christ. In essence, in baptism, if we say that God the Father sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn but to save the world, he in that salvation, what he does is he adopts us into this. He brings us back into right relationship, right? We spoke about that a bit yesterday, about the effect of original sin, and order was given way to disorder, goodness was gave way to evil, light to darkness, and life to death. And so the whole mystery of the incarnation, the paschal mystery, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the incarnation meaning that the Word became flesh, all this was to restore, to save, to redeem, and to restore order to disordered world. Mm-hmm. But that order, God is an ordered God, is not, will only be realized at the end of time. So anyway, so the baptism of Jesus was not the baptism we undergo, mm-hmm. To be cleansed of original sin and to be brought into the body of Christ, into the church, as infants. And then when we come to the age of reason, around 7, 8 years old, we're able to then make our first confession, receive Holy Communion for the first time. Baptism is the door that leads us into to the Holy Eucharist. And then confirmation confirms our baptism. It brings us into the we're already in the fullness of the church, but it's the fullness of the sacraments, those three sacraments of initiation, really baptism, Holy Communion, and confirmation. There's no problem confirming a baby. In some, certainly in many of the Latin American countries, babies are used to be baptized and confirmed at the same time or around the same time. Mm-hmm. I was confirmed when I was in the fourth grade, you know.
Wow.
These days, confirmation happens generally in junior high school. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, what's the point that I'm trying to make here?
What is the point?
Tony, I don't know.
It'll come to you.
It'll come.
Church inner wisdom.
So, yes, so the liturgical year affords us the telling of the whole story in a course of 3 years. So there's three cycles in over a three-year period. If you go to Mass every day, you're getting the full, the full of sacred scriptures being exposed, and you're being really basically fed with the fullness of the Bible, and we are, you know, even if we go on Sunday, but the point is that you delve more deeply into the story. And people who cannot go to Mass, you can download, there's all kinds of, so many books out there, missals, you know, you just buy a missal, a prayer book, a Mass book, and you'll have the readings of every day, along with the Liturgy of the Hours, which is, we can talk about that at some other point, but the priest and religious are required, priests are certainly required, I think religious, certainly monks and nuns, are to pray the Divine Office, what we call the Liturgy of the Hours, every day. So you're reading the Psalms, you're praying the Psalms, you're praying from the fathers of the Church, the saints, down through the ages. Just some absolutely beautiful readings, much of it in their own writing. And, of course, Scripture that is chosen by the Church for the to reflect the theme of the season. So the point is that we go to Mass on Sunday. That's obligatory. We have an obligation. But to go to Mass more frequently, or I'm privileged as a priest because I have Mass every day, and so I, you know, the richness of the season, the whole richness of the liturgical year, is this is where I say the Church in her wisdom has developed over the centuries this beautiful rhythm, whereby we're like right now we're in the season of Christmas, and so. Where all the readings pertain to Scripture that speaks to the mystery of the Incarnation, God's breaking into history. But not only that, it's also, again, to further identify who this child is born in Bethlehem of Mary, of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And again, as I mentioned, in Bethlehem, in the house of bread, to identify his destiny, that he would be crushed as wheat is crushed and become bread. He would be crushed on the cross, and he would make himself, by his own authority, bread for our journey. He would feed us with himself. We literally, truly, under the hidden guise of bread and wine, we receive the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity of Christ Jesus. A hard teaching for many. That's why many of the disciples left when Jesus spoke about this. But, you know, for those who remain, the 12, because he says, do you wish to go as well? And Peter said, Lord, where do we go? We believe you have the words of life everlasting. And Jesus, the gospel even says he knew that among those 12, one would betray. He knew who it was that would betray him, sell him out. But we accept the mystery. We stay in the story, and it is this wonderful story where the characters in the story in our day, the gospel is basically rewritten in every generation. But the so yesterday, as we celebrate the feast of Saint Stephen, it was a reminder that we, as members of the body of Christ, our fiat, our yes to the will of God, to be children of God, even though once we're baptized, we're sealed forever. You know, nobody can take that away. We can renounce it, our membership as part of His body. But it's just like you can't. Your family is your family. You can leave the family, but you're bound by blood, right? And we're bound together by the blood of the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Christ. We're part. That's what binds us together as members of His body. So it's once baptism is conferred, that's a seal that remains forever. We can renounce it. We can, in essence, damn ourselves. We can, you know, go away and refuse God, because He's not going to put a gun to our head. You know, love is that wonderful element of freedom, whereby we're not forced, but we're free to respond, right? And God will give us a grace sufficient to respond in an affirmative way. But if we respond, we say yes. It doesn't. The implication isn't that it's going to be easy. It's just going to be the opposite. And so, celebrating the feast of Saint Stephen yesterday, the feast of the first martyr, was not only a reminder to us that this infant, this baby born in Bethlehem of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Prince of Peace, or as I said yesterday, you know, as an adult, you know, when Jesus begins his mission, three-year mission that will take him to the cross, he says, don't think that I've come to bring peace, but rather division, because he's the truth, and truth brings us to make a decision, you know, to choose for truth or to choose for falsehood. God is truth. God is love. God is our peace. God is our strength. God is our hope. From God we come, to God we go. But we choose to live in God. Again, God has chosen us first. And so for there, for that reason, as children were brought into baptism, because God is a given. So you, a parent would not, you wouldn't think not to baptize your children if you acknowledge God is the creator and this is God's creation. Then by all means, you know, you don't, it's foolish thinking. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever when people say, well, I'll let the child decide later, you know.
It makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense. If you, if we understand God, and it's if we can see the religion as our faith is the mystical body, not the an institution. There are many religions, many institutional religions. There's, and by the way, there's no such thing as, when people say, well, I'm a non-denominational Christian, I'm not part of a the organized or institutional church, I'm non-denominational. There's no such thing as a non-denominational church or a non-denominational Christian. It just it doesn't exist.
I never could understand it when people tried to explain it to me, and they're real, they really believe that that's what they're saying, but it makes no sense.
No, because it all starts, it all comes from something,
right.
You know, and what it comes from something and someone. It comes from a Christ Jesus who founded a church, mm-hmm. one church, not many churches. The marks of the church is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. And he prayed the night before he died that that we would be united. Unfortunately, it's the devil's desire to divide, diminish, and destroy.
And see, I think about it too.
Distort.
He didn't walk away from the church. We did.
He never walks away.
That's what I'm saying.
That's exactly right.
When you think about it, that's why when people say that, well, I'm this and I'm that, and I think to myself, Jesus never said he's this and he's that. Jesus is Jesus, and we walked away.
Right, and it's a lot
sometimes.
Of it for ignorance. People just don't know, or they this is how they respond to scandal, mm-hmm. how they respond to imperfection, how they respond to distorted deviations or even perversions of the faith, and that happens always in the course of history. Jesus said, "You're not going to avoid this." Yeah, I mean, right from his own. Yeah, I mean, it's his own words. He says, "You're always going to have scandal. You're always going to have." In the epistles already we see in the letters of St. Paul and St. Peter, St. John, St. James. In the New Testament, we see the church struggling to maintain that unity and holiness of life. Now the church is always holy, but her holiness is. In many ways, it's hidden in God, but I shouldn't just say hidden in God. It's the perfect holiness mm-hmm. is in God and the communion of saints and the Blessed Virgin Mary, those who already enjoy the beatific vision. But all that is all, that holiness is God. And so it's reflected in our lives to the extent that we're disposed and receptive and seeking always to be reconciled and acknowledging our sins and repenting, going to confession. But this side of death, the church is the church militant. It's a church, it's in battle. It's in battle. It's in battle with the world. It struggles with it within itself. The enemies of the soul, the enemies of the church, the world, the devil, and the flesh.
Yeah.
It's kind of a no-brainer. But to go back to this the disunification, everything comes from something. It comes from Christ and from the church that he founded. And so every Christian outside the, so we say of the church with a big C, one holy, Catholic, and apostolic, founded on the rock of Peter, Jesus Christ, the capstone, built on the pillar of the 12 apostles. We say that that church is, it's her integrity is found in the church, Roman Catholic Church. The separated brethren, we would say, a Protestant, those part of the that are part of the Protestant tradition or Protestant Reformation, which was there a reform? It was a bit of a deformation. Certainly, there had to be reform. There has to be reform and renewal in every generation. But we don't. At the root of the division is pride, thinking that I can do it. I have to separate from the church in order to reform the church. Like you said, Jesus, God doesn't separate. God, our only stability, our the only perfection, the only stability, consistency, he who perseveres is Christ, the head. We're the body. And so we don't leave the body in order to purify or reform or make better, if that makes sense. In other words, so the members in history, somehow they got it wrong, or they, mm-hmm. or they've distorted or perverted the faith, and so we're going to separate from this body and set things right the way God wants it to be. God doesn't work that way. God is a faithful God, and he says, no, this is, you know, he will raise up the saints. He will raise up reformers. He will raise up those who will purify and sanctify, transform the church from within the body, never outside the body. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say that Christians not in communion with the Mother Church are not Christians.
No.
They're Christians. In fact, we would never, if a Christian coming from a denominational, because see everything, so that's why everything outside the Catholic Church is a denomination of the church.
In their minds.
Well, they are, in reality. Right. It's a denomination because they take their life from the church. Maybe they don't, and most don't accept the seven sacraments or the Holy Eucharist.
So they pick and choose what they believe is the thing. It was hard for me to understand that. And in a way, it still is hard. But when I think of like what I said, Jesus didn't pick and choose things. Jesus just is the church. So if people think, well, you know, I really don't like, because I've had that experience of other denominations, so they say, you know, looking down and taking shots at what I believe or what I don't believe, which these are people that don't even really know what I believe. And some of these people are people that were Catholic at one time. But it seems that, okay, well, here I'm going to take that shot at you. Well, this is wrong and this is wrong and this is right. But again, in a sense, you walked away. You decided, I'm not, in my understanding, going to follow the one church. I'm going to do something on the side, which is the way it feels like to me.
Right, and it's not, you know, it's this is where God is so merciful and so understanding, right. Because it's not necessarily through the fault of the person.
No.
It's because either, you know, you take a time like ours, but there's no justification for the separating, to separate. You can't justify that if you understand the faith.
Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, even now I think, and it's more apparent to me, and that's why I say, no matter what the priests do, the cardinals do, the Pope does, this is my faith. I don't walk away from it.
Because the Pope is not Christ.
Exactly.
The cardinals are not Christ. The priests are not Christ. Right. We are servants of the Lord.
Exactly.
Vicars of Christ. Mm-hmm. Christ, as it were, living through us. But again, God needs our cooperation, that we be disposed. We're sinners. And remember, Jesus said, You're going to always have scandal, but yeah. Woe to the man who causes a scandal, because better that a millstone be put around his neck, he'd be thrown in the sea and drowned, because you strike the shepherd, as Jesus used to strike the shepherd, and the sheep are going to scatter. Mm-hmm. So who was it? A number of saints. I always used to attribute this to Dante, but I don't think it was Dante. It was maybe Saint Athanasius, or I don't remember, but a few saints have said this, that the road to hell is paved with the skulls of bishops and priests.
Yeah.
That's how
heard that.
What we can do, I mean, how we can harm the faith of our people. Mm-hmm. If we're not, we have an awesome responsibility. And the devil, you know, again, Jesus said, Peter, I pray for you. You know, you are Simon, you are Peter, which means rock. Upon this rock, I'm going to build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. But I pray for you, Peter, that you strengthen your brothers, the other apostles, mm-hmm. because you must know that Satan means to sift you all like wheat. So, and in a time like ours, this is a difficult time, you know. But it's also a wonderful time to put things in perspective, and to not deify the Pope or deify the cardinals or the bishops or deify the priests,
right?
But to pray for them and understand that they have an awesome responsibility. We have an awesome responsibility. But I always go back to what Pope John Paul II said. I've shared this many times with all of you when he was in Belgium and on one of his pilgrimages, and the people were burning effigies of the Pope, and they sent helium-filled condoms up, and you know, just as a protest of the Church's teachings on marriage and sexuality and all this kind of stuff. And the response of Pope John Paul II was just very, very simple, very humble, without in any way causing a ruckus, or, you know, he wasn't a bit disturbed. He just says, you ask me to do what I haven't the authority to do. I don't have the authority to change these things. He's a servant of the tradition, the living tradition. We say tradition, and people have trouble with the tradition. They say, well, we're Bible. Well, our tradition is the Bible, Scripture, which comes out of the Church. The Church was already celebrating the Holy Sacraments, the Holy Eucharist, before the Bible was even written, you know, as the apostles begin to, the eyewitnesses, as they begin to die, then everything is put to word. You know, they write under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They're writing the Gospels, and so there are many Gospels, but they're the four canonical Gospels, Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But even before the Gospels were written, the letters were written. St. Paul was writing the epistles, the letters. They were being sent about to the various churches, the church, but the different communities where the Christians were. And then eventually, and of course they were reading, what were they reading in the celebration of the Holy Mass was the Hebrew Scripture, because that was a Scripture. Even Jesus himself refers to the Scripture when he says that to the apostles, or to the two disciples on the night of the resurrection, the evening of the resurrection, he says, you know, he appears to them. They don't recognize him, and they're leaving Jerusalem. They're going to Emmaus, and he says, why are you so sad? What's happened? They don't recognize him. He's not recognized. Because he's going to make a point. And they said, well, we thought he was one. We thought he was the Messiah. Mm-hmm. We thought he was God. Whether they could say that he was God, they don't, not really, I don't think at that point they understood the full reality. But they thought he was the Messiah, the one chosen by God to redeem, to save, to set them free. And Jesus says, but they said he's dead. He's been crucified. So since we're in the Christmas season, that's just, they say, well, this Jesus who was born in Bethlehem, born of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who lived among us, walked among us, who which is really the reading for today at the Feast of St. John, we had fellowship with him. We touched him. He touched us, you know. We saw him face to face, eye to eye. When you think of that, that's also, this is God. Because John, on this feast, John is the gospel writer, the evangelist, the apostle John, who just he just completely identifies that this Jesus is God. This is God in the flesh. We have the whole mystery of the Holy Trinity, but they come to understand that once the Holy Spirit is conferred on the church. But the point is that these two disciples, they say, we thought he was the Messiah, but he's been crucified, he's dead, and our hopes have died. And Jesus says, how quick you forget, wasn't it all written? What did the scripture say? And when he said that, he certainly isn't referring to the Gospels, or he's not referring to the epistles, the letters of St. Paul or St. James or St. John. None of that's been written. He's referring to the Hebrew scriptures, and he says, what did Moses say in Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Baruch? What did the prophets say? Wasn't it supposed to happen this way? How quick you forget. But it was only when he goes into their home and he sits down at the table and he does what he did a few days before on the eve of his death, Holy Thursday, at the Last Supper, when he established or instituted the Holy Eucharist. Take this, eat this, this is my body. Take this, drink this, this is my blood to be shed for you. You know, food unto eternal life. You know, better that I go that I remain with you. Emmanuel, God with us, right? He says that the night before he died, after he instituted the Holy Eucharist. Better that I go that I remain with you. And so it was that to those two disciples on the day of the resurrection that evening that they recognized him only in the breaking of the bread.
Right.
And he vanished. And they looked at each other and they said, well, did not our hearts burn as he spoke to us? It's true, he's risen as he promised. And they went back to Jerusalem to break open the doors of the cenacle, and the apostles there said, no, he's come to us as well. And then we'll take a break, Nick, here, but we're always going to be in, and that's what we celebrated yesterday on the Feast of St. Stephen. Jesus said, you're going to have trouble. You preserve the unity. The deceiver, the seducer, he who creates the illusion is going to divide, but you got to work to preserve the unity, that this body be unified. This is my body. I am the head, you are the body. And so if we separate, so we say, the living tradition of the church is Holy Scripture, the apostolic tradition, what was left, what was handed on, what was given to the apostles and handed on to us, and in that all, this is the magisterial teachings of the church that are preserved and will be preserved until Jesus comes at the end of time. Now, the devil's going to do everything he can. He looks for the weakest link to try to distort or pervert that teaching, to break that unity, to divide us and destroy us. And what happens is, when the church was going through, as has always gone through, periods of great, where there's deviation, where there's distortion, where people aren't living holy lives, or bishops or priests are living very scandalous lives. This goes all the way back to the Old Testament. It's always going to be, Jesus said. But again, woe to him who causes a scandal, So there's no justification. What we do is we put our faith in Christ, and we have to weather those storms, right, and let the Lord, as he does in every generation, build up the saints who will reform restore, renew. And there's so there's all these, and it's happening today. I heard something yesterday, by the way. And Nick, I'm sorry my screen went out here, but the church, many of the prelates of the church, mm-hmm. the bishops are terribly disturbed by the lay people who are causing a ruckus because they're defending the faith. You know, they're defending the living tradition, the faith, the doctrines of the church. When there seems to be, as we were talking about this yesterday, when there mm-hmm. when there's this tendency to want to accommodate. There's I made mention of the letter that I wrote, and mm-hmm. The response was, well, this, because I was speaking about, you know, that as we love the world, we love life, we want to draw people into this mystical body, into this church, the body of Christ, to bring them to salvation, to redemption, to know the love and to serve the Lord. But as much as we love God, and therefore love the world and love life and love people, Jesus said, as we heard yesterday on the feast of St. Stephen, the first martyr, as I was hated, you're going to be hated. As I was persecuted, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be at enmity with the world. In this world, you're going to have trouble. But be at peace, I've conquered the world. We cannot, we do not, we must not deviate from the person and the teachings of Christ Jesus. We don't rewrite the commandments of God. We don't recreate God in our image and likeness. And so what we do is we're the church militant in the battle. We depend on the church triumphant, the lives of the saints who are cheering us on and praying for us. And, you know, even as they enjoy the beatific vision, you know, there's they must suffer for us as well, perhaps. The souls in purgatory, the suffering souls there who await their own purification, that they can enjoy the beatific vision. But they're not condemned or damned to hell because they died in God's grace. But with inordinate attachment to this world, they have to be purged of all that and make reparation for their sins. We already do that now. The purgation has to begin now in this life. But the point is, the separated Christians, if you just take, okay, so you see there's problems here in this church, okay, so we got this, so something must be wrong. So I want to take the Bible, I'm going to, like as Martin Luther did, mm-hmm. I'm going to set things right. I'm going to separate from Peter, from the apostolic tradition, and based on his reading of Scripture and all that, you know. So once you separate from the church, then there's no end to it. Mm-hmm. And you can have 10 people here. We can put the Bible in the hands of all 10 persons, and each can decide, based on their reading of Scripture, you know, what kind of church they're going to start. Exactly. And it's interesting, because I spoke to somebody the other day at the laundromat I go to. They're, mm-hmm. they're Christians of a denominational church. Right. And they were, you know, and I respect them, and they certainly mm-hmm. respect me. And we talk often, and in fact, sometimes it's hard to get away because it gives them a chance to talk. But they talk about the issues in their church.
Exactly.
You know, what's happening. You know, the divisions, and their church is a church that's separated from another church, and mm-hmm. you know, a lot of it is based on the charismatic leader, the whoever is the pastor or whatever, but they keep splintering,
yeah.
And so, you know, what started as a reformation, a reform of the church, which was really in all honesty, people, we're talking about a deformation. This isn't that a reformation, reformation. It was a deformation. The church had to be reformed, but it has to be reformed. Not in separating from the body, but it's to turn our gaze to God, humble ourselves, open our hearts, be receptive, allow the Spirit of God to set things right. And so then that's why we celebrate the lives of the saints, because they were the reformers. They were they renewed the church. They brought new life back into the church, you know. the church militant. And so the bottom line is, but we're really, this is, Nick, you're gonna want to kill me, I know. But this is the thing, as I heard yesterday, that after the Second Vatican Council, of course, and I saw this very much when I was going through the seminary and over the years, but it became the age of the laity, right? The laity. Well, now it's just a big problem for the church because the prelates or the bishops, priests, who they want to silence these people because they're a thorn in our side because they're defending the tradition, they're defending the doctrine, they're defending the faith. Sad to say, but many bishops and priests are say, well, what can we do to accommodate? How can we? Or as somebody would say, as it was told to me, that your what you wrote doesn't reflect the mind of the church. How could it not reflect the mind of the church when I'm speaking? I'm just quoting from Jesus Christ, who said, you're going to be at enmity with the world. But we love the world. We love life. We love people. So it's really, there's no justification. We have to humble ourselves and let God do the work within his body. He's not going to divide his own body.
We divided his body.
We divide the body. So we succumb to the world. We succumb to Satan, his deceptions, his seductions, the illusion. We succumb to the flesh. And this is, we all battle that stuff, But no justification for the dividing this body. I think it's quite fascinating. But I think today, this is what's so exciting, is the laity who are not going the way of the hippie generation or I heard that it was called that the other day, the baby boomers. Unfortunately, you're getting the blame now because
messed it up.
Yeah, because this is the age of, this is what, I saw this, you can't imagine, I saw this video of a priest, a Kenyan priest, who was sent to a parish. And he began to set things right, and you got all the old people there, the hippie generation, basically, and they're protesting the priest, and they're saying this is.
Do we see that today? Yes,
it's
we do.
It's so revealing, know. So anyway, we got to take a break, and then we're gonna have to wrap up. I hate to say it, we even haven't taken a break. All right, don't go away, people. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
At St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, we pray the Roman Canon in Latin on the first Sunday of each month, as Pastor Father Anthony Bush has written.
Latin in the Mass binds us ever more deeply to the saints of old and the Church's enduring character. In our time, when so much of what characterizes our identity of Catholics has been undone, it seems a spiritual and moral work of mercy to offer this simple gesture as a reminder that we are servants of a sacred story always under threat until Jesus comes at the end of all things.
The Roman Canon at St. Stanislaus Kostka Church on the first Sunday of each month. St. Stan's is handicapped accessible. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. For complete information, go to ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. Do you know why Dutch children expect St. Nicholas to arrive by a Spanish boat? In 1087, sailors brought my physical remains from Myra in Asia Minor to my new home, St. Nicholas Basilica in Bari, Italy. Later on, Alphonsus V of Aragon placed the city of Bari under the Spanish Kingdom of Naples. From then on, Bari was under Spanish authority well into the 18th century. As a result, Dutch children came to expect St. Nicholas, or Sinterklaas as they call me, to travel from what was once considered part of the Spanish kingdom, namely Bari, Italy. And that's why to this very day, just a few weeks before my feast day of December the 6th, with great fanfare, I still make my annual arrival to Amsterdam by Spanish boat. But no matter where I am, no matter how I travel, I'm filled with the joy of Christmas. For Christ is born, glorify him.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stan's School is enrolling now for the 2020-21 school year. St. Stan's School is a PK3 to 8th grade Catholic school in Westtown, committed to challenging students achieve academic and social excellence, led by action and example. Explore all that St. Stan's has to offer at ststanschicago.org or call 773-278-4560 or visit St. Stan's School at 1255 North Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway, just one block north of Division on Noble. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's. St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, two blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Another point I want to make about this, the church and the divisions, and today's the feast of St. John the Evangelist, St. John the Apostle. His gospel is just phenomenal. And hopefully before we go off the air, I'll read from the reading the last Mass at Christmas was from the reading of the Mass of the Word. The Word was made flesh. But people understand that this is, and it really is an important point to understand. If a Christian, again, as I say, those who are not part of the church, the mother church, we're as Catholics, we're part of the mother, we are the mother church, we're the marks of the church. The church is one. Jesus founded one church, a holy church. We're made up of sinners, but that the holiness is in heaven, in God, in the Trinity, the three persons in one God. There's that's the perfection of love and holiness, God, and the saints, the church triumphant. That's the church in its perfection. We're on the way, imbued with the grace. That's why we've been given the sacraments. We have the Word of God, the sacraments of the church, to continue to sanctify, to purify, to transform, to sanctify, because we're in the battle. The church is Catholic, which means that Jesus, he founded a universal church. Mm-hmm. Go, he says to the nations, all the nations, preach repentance from sin, and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Again, that we're adopted into this mystical body. And the church is apostolic. So she has to, in her integrity is preserved only insofar as she maintains apostolic identification, that apostolic lineage is not broken. the 12 apostles built on the pillar of the 12 tribes of Israel. So it's all, everything is connected there. But those who separate from the mother church with the Reformation, which I said was really a deformation because it deformed the church, God raised up the saints to reform the church and has to raise up the saints in every age. And today it's the age of the laity with the help of God, you know, there's some really great cardinals and some great bishops that are really very, very strident in their defense of the faith in this really, really rather difficult time. But anyway, having said that, the Christians outside the church are Christians. If they're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're separated brethren. We call those ecclesial communions or communities, but not in full communion with the mother church. Now, if they come to me, and I've had many over the course of the years of my priesthood, and they say, you know, we want to come home. Basically, it's a coming home. I've never been a Catholic, but I realize the fullness of the faith is here in the church, and so I want to become a Catholic. I have to be baptized. No, you don't. We're not going to rebaptize you. You're a Christian, So we don't rebaptize. We'll confirm you, and bring you into Holy Communion. You'll receive communion, Holy Communion, and of course confession, the sacrament of reconciliation. But we don't rebaptize. I know Catholics who have gone over to other religions, and they don't accept the baptism. How often have you heard us say, people say, "Well, you're a Catholic, but I'm a Christian." Well, it says, "No, we're Christians." You know, or Christians.
Who is the head of our church?
Objectively speaking, and the purity of Christianity is in the church, in the Catholic Church. That doesn't mean that others don't live a more pure life, a holier life. We have to emulate the holiness in the lives of many. But anyway, I just wanted to make that point that you understand, you know. So, and we're just about out of time, but again, today is a feast of St. John. That the gospel, I don't know if I, just from, and maybe we'll come back to this later. We've talked about St. John before, but he's just, the gospel is, it's really the gospel of love, because God is love. In fact, John would say that. But in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing came to be. He came to give life. I'm going to not finish this, but the bottom line is, the light, this is Christmas, this a child born of the Blessed Virgin Mary, this is God who always was, is, and always will be. He is the light that dispels the darkness. The light came into the world. People rather chose darkness not to come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed. God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son not to condemn, but to save the world. His only begotten Son to adopt us. And from the cross, before the great gift of our salvation, he gave us a great gift of his mother. The mother of God is our mother, mother of the church. And next week we celebrate her feast day, which is really celebrated to further identify the Son conceived by the Spirit to whom she gave birth. Who is he? Jesus, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. Have a very blessed weekend. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
It's time to be stirred. The time is now. Read the signs, no time to hide.